Welcome to the Tennis Pulse. The heartbeat of tennis is here. We are an exciting tennis show serving up fresh voices, bold insights, and we promise a lot of fun. Today in the Tennis Pulse, how the Italian Renaissance has taken over 2024. Plus, the controversial doping cases that rocked this year. Our Tennis Pulse expert, Charlie Steep, weighs in. Feel the heartbeat of tennis with your hosts and tennis fans, Lindy Weissuttle-Mulla-Vestenhagen, Federica Fanari, William Bonmossanon, and Zani Suttle. The Tennis Pulse starts now.
Ole, 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 ole.
Sinner.
Yeah, of course. Ole, everyone is talking about Sinner and his incredible year in 2024. He won 8 titles, 3 Master 1000, 2 Grand Slams, the Davis Cup, ATP Final.
Team Italy!
Yes, Jasmine Paolini led also the team, the women's team, winning the Billie Jean Cup, which made an incredible year for Italy and Italian tennis.
Amazing year.
Yeah, it was exceptional, which basically created a whole movement. Mm. So this had a tremendous effect in the Italian tennis, which raised all membership 30%, which
30%.
I think is an incredible number, right?
Wow.
Yes, 30% is a crazy, crazy number. And of course, this is also called the Sinner effect, but let's not forget all the other players that, of course, have contributed in Italy for a great year and inspired so many, especially young kids, to sign up and take the tennis racket into their hand. I also would like to say that I think Angelo Binaghi, which is the president of the Italian Federation and used to be my coach.
Oh, wow. Really? That's cool.
Yeah, very cool. When I used to play for TC Cagliari, has done an incredible job because he raised, I think it was something, let me check. I think it was something like 17 million at the beginning when he started, 70 million in 2001.
Wow.
And now the revenues of the federation are 204.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
This year has been incredible for Italy. So tennis actually is like going neck and neck with football, especially on the audience and on TV, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Italy is such a football
nation.
So yeah.
Andy Roddick actually was talking about this whole Italian Renaissance too. I just want to read what he said. He said, "We have to give props to the Italian Tennis Federation, and he really wants these opportunities also in the U.S. because he sees that it's making huge change." And he was quoted to say, "Props to them, because what has happened is not an accident. The right decisions have been made. The right investments has been made. Italy is the toast of the tennis world."
Wow. Olé.
Olé. Olé. Olé. Olé. Forza. 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 Forza.
No, I think you need a lot of things that, you know, that's not by accident.
Yeah.
That they have, I mean, You never can produce a number one. That's also luck and you know, circumstances. And of course, Sinner is happening to be there now. But the biggest change what they made is like for the young players, they can young professionals. They started to create the future tournament. So basically, almost every week of the year, you can play in your own country for world ranking points.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing, because tennis is very expensive.
Very much so.
So if you start playing
and turn
professional and travel to other countries, you need a lot of money. So what they did is, let's create these small tournaments, the first steps for professionals to step into the market, you know, create them in their own country, and that helped everybody a lot. And after 10 years, you see the results. Of course, you need good coaches, good
physios,
everything.
Everybody,
the tournaments for the players is the most important thing, to have them in their own country. And I think that's the key to the success. And of course, if you have one player, then, I mean, I remember our time when Boris, you know, we played together when we were juniors, and then we turned pro. And suddenly one player really makes it, you know, winning Wimbledon. And then you see, listen, I beat this guy 2 years before. Why can't I do it? Mm-hmm. So it also gives trust to the other players. We are on the right track. He did it. we have the same possibilities, why not doing the same thing? So, yeah, you know, many players followed, and same thing happens in Italy right now.
Yes. And I mean, I would add to that, they are really good ambassadors. And before that, we only had soccer players and their style. And now we have a very humble athlete. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're leading, by example. And I find this super inspiring. I'm very happy, for example, for my son that is totally obsessed with Yannick. Mm-hmm. Because he's a great guy to follow, you know?
It's also interesting to see the football fans, except when I think Sinner was, you went back to his hometown or somewhere in Italy where he went to a football stadium, and the entire football stadium was like chanting,
wow,
like, ole, 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 Sinner. I'm pretty sure that was in
Milan. Yeah, it was in Milan, unfortunately, yeah, it follows AC Milan. That's okay.
It's another podcast.
That's another podcast. But it was so emotional to see that, you know, and this connection between now football and tennis in a sense. But you're saying it was nice to see now a tennis player being idolized in Italy.
Effect comes even later now, because now, you know, kids, you know, seeing Sinner and Paolini and starting now, so more and more talents will go into the sports, and that helps a lot.
Absolutely. Mm. I think it also helped all the other Italian players into believing that Italy still gets a shot. I mean,
Italy always had one or two top players, not the very top, but it was always a tennis nation, but the top players were missing.
And I mean, look on the women's side too.
I think
that
it's beautiful.
Was so exciting.
I mean, she was always a top 30 player, then she's coming in and breaking into the top five.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And to be in two finals this year.
Incredible.
Also, I mean, doubles too.
Doubles, yeah.
Killing it. What was with Sarah Ronnie as well? Another Italian.
Yeah,
another Italian.
Bravo. She's been around for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, you know, the Italians are getting a lot of respect now on the tour among the other players. Mm. That also plays a different, you know, it's a different feeling for the Italian players now being on a tour, for sure. When I'm looking back, you know, when we played Italians, they were always talented. But, you know, if you really compete hard, they are like very emotional and, you know, they break sometimes.
Like Fognini?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love
like
Fognini.
The hothead.
Yeah, you have many examples, but this is over, you know, now.
Yeah.
Now, if you play a talent player, you say, okay, they're talented, but they're really good competitors. They're fit. They're professional. Yeah. So that changed a lot. Also among the tour.
Yeah, the emotion size has been improved.
The mental health, yeah.
Charlie, tell us about when you played the Olympics, the Italian team. You said they brought their own
they brought their own chef? What?
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
They brought their own chef. So you know, in the Olympics, in the Olympic Village, you can eat 24 hours in the food store, or how you say, in the Mensa.
The cafeteria.
And we became very friendly at that time with the Italians, because it was in Seoul, and so the basic food was not great. What we got, so the Italians, they had their own chef, only for the Italians. So we got very friendly with Paolo Cane and the other players to stand in the line and,
and they let
get
you
some
in.
Pasta.
Yeah, they were welcoming. They were like, yeah.
But that's typical, you know, it's so important for Italian players.
It is.
The lifestyle and, you know, and they were always on tour, very friendly and, you know, a lot of fun they have among each other. And that what I always liked about Italians. I like to play them too, because on the court they were the same. Maybe not the best competitors, but always very talented. A lot of talent on the court.
Very cool. So what do you think 2025 is going to bring for Yannick, especially after this doping case that is still not closed?
Well, one thing I have to say, I'm very surprised how he was able to mentally to put this aside, you know, after the first time it came out, and still compete.
Because
that does a lot with a player. Plus,
I
think, you know, he's a very honest, nice guy. And for him, it was the worst thing what can happen.
Mm.
And to go out there and still play his best tennis is the biggest effort I can imagine, because, you know, as a tennis player, everything has to be, you have to be healthy, you have to, you know, everything has to be in order to perform well. And he had the worst thing what can happen to you. And he still went out and is winning. So that's one thing. The other
also,
thing is,
let's remind everybody that he didn't do anything.
Yeah. It's still,
I mean,
well, you cannot say that he didn't do anything because he got tested positive twice. I'm not.
But the amount was so ridiculously low, 0.06%, which, like, if you actually are doping yourself, this was stated that they wouldn't actually do much to your bodies, which it was clear that it was a contamination. But still, I don't understand how contamination is sometimes punished and some other times it's not, and this was a big debate.
Well,
this
I think you cannot be either you're positive or not, and the rules are in place, and therefore there has to be, you know, everybody is under the same rules. So unfortunately, even if it's a small contamination, he's positive. So what do you tell Halep, for example?
That was much higher though. Well, it was much higher, and they stated that it was not clear there was contamination, that it was the amount was so high that it would have been doping.
You know, you cannot be half pregnant. I think either you are.
So
it's going to be interesting, because according to the rules, he has to be banned. But I think the
it's a
one thing
case to Iga, I find, no? Somehow.
Yeah, yeah,
and Iga just got a month. So,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, but
so we have a problem.
Why are
we don't have a problem.
Year, possible 2 years. This is absolutely too much.
We have a problem with the rules and the system. You know, it has to be much more defined. You know, what if you have a very small contamination
and the case and, as well. I think,
and I think that's a big problem. But for at the moment, the rule is there. So, unfortunately, in my opinion, he has to be, there has to be a penalty. And what do you tell to the other athletes? And you cannot explain all, you know, who is right, who is wrong. The only thing what you can see is if somebody is positive or not. And
yeah, rules are rules. Rules are maintained.
Well, there needs to be a ban, because he already gave up all his Indian Wells cash in and all the points.
Yeah,
so
but that's not enough.
Well, that's not.
It's
that,
like
that's
other
matter,
players. It's going to be. It's completely.
What is
unfair,
what is the? For example, let's turn it around. For example, you have a positive player. He's still playing. He's competing against you. He's probably beating you, winning your prize money, your points.
Yeah, exactly.
And he is positive. What do the other players think? And it's a very, very difficult situation. And I think for him, it was the worst case what can happen, because I believe that it was not his fault, although he's responsible for his physiotherapist.
For his team. Yeah.
So therefore, you know, if he's not going to be banned, well, so many other things will come, or players will come. Yeah, but this was not me. That was my physio. That was my doctor. I mean, even at our time, everything what I took, if I had a cold or anything, you go to the doctor, can I take that? Mm. So him as number one with a huge team, big management, this cannot happen. And it's his responsibility.
Because he didn't take it.
Well, here, okay, also, this thing is his coach, Darren, who was also former coach of Simona Halep.
Uh-oh.
Darren weighed in on it, and he said he's not an expert, so this is like, you know, he's giving that as the beginning. But he said, with Yannick's case, they knew exactly where it came from. Within 5 minutes, they knew this could only be the possible place where it came from. So they were pretty quick to get the sports resolutions. To get that temporary ban lifted. With Simona, I think it took a great deal of time to find out where the contamination came from, because remember, she was really trying to figure out where it came from. So she didn't have a chance to get that emergency meeting, and that's why it probably became public. I mean, what's his name?
Dennis.
He weighed in, and he was like, what, different rules for different people? And
that's,
you know,
true.
And then Simona went back also with the Iga thing and took to Instagram, because she feels like, you know, what about my case, you know?
No,
and she said,
it's true, it's fair.
It seems like there's,
it is fair, huh? She wrote, I stand and ask myself, why is there such a big difference in treatment and judgment? Mm-hmm. I can't find and I don't think there can be a logical answer. It can only be bad will from the ITIA, the organization that has absolutely done nothing to destroy, but to destroy me despite the evidence. It was painful. It is painful. Maybe the injustice that was done to me will always be painful.
My understanding is that there was no evidence there. And in Iga case and Yannick's case, at least everybody was forthcoming and they were very quick in finding where the contamination was coming from. Mm. And that was, this is why this was not made public until there was a resolution.
What's the difference between where it's coming from and where not there? Everybody is positive. How can you know?
It's like,
for example, if you eat some and you have no idea where it's coming from, it's the same situation for me. I mean, they're lucky they found out, yes, but you cannot make a difference. I think it's you're getting way too far into details if it comes to execute a rule and try to have a solid, because in the future it's going to be very difficult. I said, yeah, I was eating somewhere out. It must have come from there. If you cannot prove it, then you have a problem, but it's still, you're treating the cases differently. I think it's...
Maria Sharapova was also...
Oh, sorry,
no, Maria Sharapova, she's also quite forthcoming quite quickly with her her case as well. She got, what, 18 months, I
she
believe?
She did.
So... I don't believe it's, it doesn't have to be, but if it's short forthcoming or not.
And if you're positive, you're positive.
Yeah. Let's say a player is ranked 100 and cannot afford the lawyers and
agree.
Have to support how to handle the case right. Then you have a huge problem.
I feel these cases are more convenient for these two players because Iga's a former number one and Sinner's number one. They have more funding to back these people up and to know right away as a player who's a number one.
And take the right measures.
It's true. Halep was like top 10. She was top 5.
She was number one, former number one, too.
Yeah. She was a former number one.
And you feel for her as well, too. And then you take time off and try to come back in. You're not in the game anymore. She's still suffering herself.
And also what I really don't understand is that, everybody should have a... It should be decided very quick. Also with Sinner. Now they are taking the case after Australian Open. There's another Grand Slam in between, which doesn't make sense. You know, now is a lot of time. And if there is going to be a ban, then of course it's also in his interest probably to have soon the result. Now they're taking it further again. So it's unfortunate for tennis. It's for the whole tennis board. Unfortunate for Sinner and for the players, yes.
And for the Italian Renaissance.
And the fans. Yeah. And the fans. Exactly. And we love these players.
But I don't agree with you that you can make a difference of the...
contamination.
Right now, the rules are like that. I think there should be in the future what kind of substance is found. Agreed. And make a difference there.
Because, like drunk driving, for example.
Yeah. We won't find a solution here at that table. But I think, unfortunately, I have to say, there has to be some kind of penalty according to the rules, what we have right now. It's a very sensitive topic with a lot of different...
opinions on it,
No, opinions, yes, but you have strict rules. But then you have the national doping, how you say, the different authorities testing. Yeah. Also, if you see, like, if you go to different countries, what cannot afford the testing in practice, in when you are out of the competition. In competition, it's clear, if you in a Grand Slam among the top 16, last 16, you get tested anyway. Before, it's randomly. Mm. If you are in Olympic year, you get tested by the National Olympic Committee. At least two or three times. I remember I got tested once when I had a surgery on my knee. I still had a cast on my knee. I got tested in my apartment Saturday night, 8 o'clock. I mean, I couldn't even practice. Why would I, So there are rules and tests in place, but I think still a lot of questions, and for the future, it should be much clearer.
Yes.
And to protect the players from getting, substance from somewhere else. Imagine you're traveling the whole year. You're eating out in restaurants.
How can you control that?
That's very tough to control.
So therefore, I agree.
Therefore, it has to be something to protect. But also, if you are tested positive with a certain amount where you think this is really helping your performance.
Yeah.
Then the rules should be clear for and the same for everybody.
I agree. If it's helping the performance, I agree. But contamination, I mean, Iga also getting it from this melatonin supplement.
Yeah, but that's also, you don't take something you've not tested before. That's really a fault
for
her.
That's a lot of money, actually, to take.
She's number one.
You're not taking so much. The players are not taking so many things. You take supplements, vitamins, minerals.
But 30 supplements.
No, but as a professional, even at our time, you know, 25 years ago, we asked our doctor, because as a player, you cannot know the whole list. Which nose spray can I take? What can I take? What can I not take?
This melatonin was fine.
Yeah, but maybe she bought it
somewhere.
She got
a bad batch
But still, you never know what's in there.
Yeah.
Of course, it's... So the players really have to be careful with that.
So bring your own chef.
Bring your own chef. Learn from the Italians. Bring your own chef.
Yeah.
You grow your own vegetables.
Yes. Have your own factory for
vitamins
and minerals. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, but also if you think it through, if somebody wants that you bad, you know, and they put something in your drink where you're somewhere,
mm-hmm. yeah.
this can happen anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a very sensitive thing and players really have to be careful. So they have to be protected by the rules and they have to be more specific, I guess.
Listen, I love Yannick, so I'm hoping for
we feel really good.
I think he's a class act. Yeah. He's such a great guy. I would never expected that from him. But again, I'll agree. It wasn't his fault in that sense. But let's see what happens.
Let's see what 2025 holds.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
For the Italian Renaissance or maybe even another country's Renaissance.
USA.
Thanks for joining us.